And welcome back to the Book and Life podcast. Today we're going to have a brand new book guest on. Whether they're an author, an editor, a producer, you'll never quite know, so you're in for one hell of a ride. But today I just have to do the adverts and then I'll get us straight into that most important conversation. And as we do every week, I'm going to read The Shadow, which is part of the Time Guardian series, and this is book 4 from Marianne Curley. The battle is over, the war is won. The prophecy complete, but life can't just pick up where it left off for Ethan. Struggling to cope with tragic loss, at odds with friends in the guard, he finds himself adrift, jumping in shadows and sensing someone who can't possibly be there. Blaming herself for the goddess Athena's death, Giselle swears revenge to fulfill the Immortals' plan for world domination, but Giselle hadn't planned on love, and that leaves her with an unbearable choice. Should she follow her heart or the strings of a goddess short on praise but high on expectation, who continues to pull her from the grave? As the guard and the order battle through the past and into an impossible future, darkness lurks around every corner. The fight for the world's survival rests with just one. Is it friend or foe who stands in the shadow? And just a reminder that The Price of Freedom by Rosemary Rowan, is being donated to the Ukraine refugee crisis. And here's the blurb for her book. It's one of her Roman British Crime series, which was written under her maiden name. All editions can be found online where all books are sold, even her agents donating her commission. Sorry, I don't have the blurb for that, but that's what she's doing. And now, without further ado, let's get you to the guests.
And welcome back to the Book and Life podcast, guys. This week we have an incredible writer coming in today. She is going to whip you guys up into a frenzy and leave you wanting more. But before I get into that, I'm going to welcome her and I'm going to get her to tell you about her new book because I know I'm excited. So without further ado, everyone please welcome Celine Goldenberg. Did I get that right?
It's Salini or Sal, whichever is easy.
Yeah, I always fucker it up, like, every single time. So, yeah, people get my name wrong, so it's like... So tell us about your new book, your latest book that you're plugging right now.
Sure. So it's called The Last Fee Hunter. It's coming out April 9th on Angry Robot. It is a dark fantasy inspired by Thai folklore and culture. It follows a young, ambitious hunter named X, who is on his way to hunt a legendary demon when he gets interrupted by a pregnant runaway who asks for his help. So it turns out she has a lot of secrets, and things get more and more dangerous, stuff that he's not prepared for, and also starting to catch feelings. So that is the gist of it.
I love that because it's kind of like this whole, the poor guy has no clue what he's getting himself into, and then oops, blindsided again.
I really liked having this kind of, I think my agent described it as a cinnamon roll character where he's a little bit of a himbo, which made him really fun to write.
Yeah, I mean, that's the fun about writing high fantasy, though. Like, there's just so few rules that you can go with. Like, you just have more freedom to say, I'm just going to randomly blow this up. Or, you know, we're going to have some meta right here. Like, I love that freedom. And that's what I was excited about yours, because it was just like, it's like the nightmare situation for any guy. And it must be. Like, they must think, geez, do these women actually just plan this?
Yeah.
Like, do they sit around and plan how they're gonna, like, friggin' just sideswipe us and, like, steal us away or something? At least a lot of my male friends think that. So,
I always, like, when I start getting into, you know, some crazy parts in the story, I'm just almost cringing because I just feel like the character's looking up at the heavens, like, really? This is what's happening next, you know? And that's when I know that I'm on the right track, is when the character is kind of yelling at the narrator, like, is this really where we're going?
Which is kind of like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, I always love this about being authors, is like, we almost put on this little show and these stories, and we're technically the puppets, but in real life we're the ones looking up at the sky going, really? You couldn't have thought of something better than this, you know? Like, it's—I always think it's like a weird sort of irony. Like, most of the time we're like sitting there wanting to throw our own books across the room, and there's probably somebody up above us writing this crazy story that we're all living, you know?
Just in life, when I just get like 500 tickets on my car for no reason, I'm like, really? This is my adventure right now in life.
Yep. I've been there. Or you just randomly stub your toe and you're like, how?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I think that's like, it's a sort of moral story, I think, for all of us writers, is we see that, where it's like a lot of people who maybe aren't as creative as us don't kind of get that multi-level vision that we all get, and we kind of see the irony and stuff. So
yeah, definitely.
So how did you get the idea to write this? Where did it come from?
I think it came from a couple different places. I'm the type of writer who kind of has a bunch of stuff going on. Like, I'll just open a notebook and just start writing without any idea of what I'm doing. And then, what happens is I end up with like a bunch of half-baked ideas, or maybe I have a really good character or a cool setting, but then it's, you know, sometimes it's just lacking. So this story actually came from combining like three different story ideas. I had like a boring short story about like a dude and a dog hunting a demon. And the thing I liked about it was this idea that he could communicate with the monster. And I thought that made it kind of interesting. But that's about the only thing that was like interesting about it. And then I had this like started this sort of, it was more of like a grimdark fantasy, but it was pretty typical. And then I started adding like Thai history elements into it.
Yeah.
Which it started getting cool, but something was missing there too, so I didn't get too far on it. And then what was the third one? I swear there was a third one. Oh, I just had some, I think the opening scene was from some other random, like sort of Western-y, like typical fantasy setting where a dude gets beat up in a tavern and meets a woman who like kind of pulls him into an adventure. So it was like a combination of combining all those three. I think one thing I can point to that made me feel like it was something that had legs was seeing a lot of Rebecca Roanhorse's work with the, I think Trail of Lightning was a book that had like a native monster hunter, basically. And that's about the only similarities there, because it was like contemporary fiction or fantasy. But it made me think about it, as well as like, you know, the Witcher TV show and games. I'm like, oh, okay, so there's like really cool monsters in Thai folklore. So then I combined those last three books and kind of came up with the idea for this one.
It's incredible, like, how sometimes I do the same as you. Like, I will buy a notebook randomly. Mm-hmm. My husband freaks out usually because I'll walk around and I'll be like, ah, ha! And then he'll be like, you got like 50 at home.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't have one right now. You know, you just start writing, and I'm terrible. Like, I sit on a plane, something comes to me. I sit on a train, something comes to me. Not as easy in a car, funnily enough.
Yeah, right. That's when you have to get the voice notes out.
Yep.
And start just dictating the random thing that comes to your brain.
But for some reason in the car, because you've got somebody that you're supposed to communicate with, it's almost like I hit a roadblock. But if I'm in a public transportation situation, I just ignore everyone. And I'm the weird person in the corner with the notebook in my brain.
Public transit is great for writing. Like,
yeah,
there were times where I would just, not for this story as much, but for other stories, I just get on the metro here in DC and ride it around from one end to the other and just kind of like start drafting madly, or like on a train. I've been on a train once and ended up writing a lot. I don't know. It's something about being sort of like transient or something, or like,
yeah, the freedom of it.
And then it's just gone and you can kind of focus on, you know, what's in your head. So yeah, I really enjoy writing in transit, actually, on notebooks too. That's like
kind of then, like, when you get home, you just like hit the computer and it just comes, like, it just flows. Like, when I was kind of getting really into my Nordic ones, mm-hmm. I couldn't get into that connection with it because I was living in Glasgow at the time and I was struggling. So I headed back to Shetland to see my mom for like a month, and it just hit me, like, every piece that I needed for that story just sunk straight in as soon as I was on that ferry. And that ferry is 14 hours. And I have never been grateful for a 14-hour ferry in my life than I was that week. I wrote it. And then my editor was like, where the hell did you come up with all this? And I'm like, I had a 14-hour ferry with no internet and I couldn't game. So, you know. But yeah, like, the Islanders are so used to seeing me tucked in the corner of the coffee shop. And if they see the notepad out, they'll not come up to me. They'll just leave me alone. But if that notepad's closed, like, I have like just tons of people that will come and just annoy the hell out of me. So sometimes I just leave it open to get that little bit of like peace and quiet. But like, those are like, I think for us writers, even though what we do is such a singular thing, it's such like an intimate thing, we still need that world buzz around us and people around us and that sort of hyper social activities going on for us to be able to feel connected to the world and really produce something amazing.
Yeah, that's a good point. It definitely helps a lot too, and just getting like more in the background kind of energy or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, the hum of life. Yeah,
I do it a lot when I'm like coming up with ideas, going and sitting in the park or something like that. When I start getting into a book though and writing, I'm usually just on my couch with my cats,
trying to being there. Yep. Yeah. And then, battering them off,
like,
because
if anyone interrupts me, I just glare at them like, can't you see I'm like, it's somewhere, I'm in space right now, you know, trying to get in the mode.
Yeah, can you wait till I feed you in like an hour's time? Yeah, I've been there. I actually had my cat decided he was not going to wait longer than 10 minutes for his dinner one time, and he actually sat on my keyboard.
My one of my cats loves it. Anytime I leave, I come back and she's written like 3 pages of just, you know,
random letters. Yep.
Yeah.
Been there. Actually, the worst one that mine did, my youngest, Stefano, was he actually deleted my entire book.
Really?
And I freaked. I was like, I hope this hasn't saved. I hope I can get it back. And luckily, I got it back, but it was like 100,000 words. I was going to kill him.
That's impressive. Like, for the cat to have the, you know, ability to figure that out.
He was just pawing the keys. Like, it was the cutest thing. It was like he was imitating me, and he was such a tiny kitten at the time. Oh. And I was just like, no, it's 100,000 words. No. I'm going to kill you. You know? And but it's amazing, like, how just having them around can sometimes make it less lonely and less boring, because you just never know what's going to happen.
For sure.
So what can people be excited about that you are working on? What can they be hungry for?
For this story?
Well, for whatever you're working on next.
Oh, gotcha. For the next story. Yeah. I'm really stoked about the next story. I want to get published. I don't have any like actual plans yet for it, as far as, you know, I have no details to share as much as that goes, but it is in a different genre. I'm like a big sci-fi person, actually, which is kind of funny that my first novel ended up being fantasy, because, I mean, I love fantasy too, but I would say I'm probably like
comfortable in the sci-fi world.
70 to 80% like a sci-fi fan. But I am really excited for it because I have like kind of that sort of irreverent tone in my writing that'll, you know, if people like Philosophy Hunter, they'll like the next story too.
Yeah, exactly. And I think if you've got a reverent style voice, it's perfect for sci-fi. It really just transforms it. Yeah. Because it's so funny. I literally got published in romance for years. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get into fantasy was dead when I came around. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, I just want to write fantasy. I'm not this romantic chick. What the hell? And I am apparently, according to my close friends, a absolute sap, a romantic at heart. Not that I can see it. And it's just this kind of running gag that I've been writing fantasy on the side for years, and yet I'm constantly asked for romance.
I noticed that romanticy especially is like a huge buzzy like trend kind of right now, and it's really popular. But I mean, I feel like romance is always popular in the industry. I think
it is. And if you get stuck in there, it's a nightmare to get out.
I've heard that too. Yeah. And I've noticed that my book, when I look online at retailers, sometimes it is shelved as like romanticy, but I kind of figure like they're just kind of like following a trend right now. I just hope that people don't get like disappointed if they're expecting like a very, you know, romancy subplot book, because it's definitely not like focused on romance. It's a big subplot, which kind of, I didn't plan for it, it just kind of happened. But I mean, I have never really been able to write romance well, but I always like doing like a subplot in the story. I think it makes your characters
it gives us that edge, and it gives like it, more people connect to it as well, because the romance industry is billions of dollars a year.
Yeah.
And I mean, the piece I wrote was just fiction. Like, I wrote just a very generic drama about family, and it got shelved as contemporary romance, and it has never gotten out of that shelf since. And I'm like, oh dear Lord, you guys couldn't be more wrong about this. Even my readers would come back and say, this really isn't heavy romance. Like, why is it in contemporary romance? And I'm like, I have no clue. That's the booksellers, you know?
Right, totally. Yeah, I think it's hard if you feel like you're getting pigeonholed, especially like as a debut. I'm like conscious of that. Like, oh, I don't want people to think I only write like Asian inspired fantasy. I don't want to.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I love making my books like diverse and have underrepresented characters and settings and stuff. But, it's just, you know, I write all kinds of stuff, so I'm excited to like start putting more of that out when I can.
Yeah, I know that feeling, because one of the things that I did with the indie side is I said to my publisher, if I sign this deal with you, I do not want to write romance for the rest of my life. Like, I want to go do other stuff. And she literally looked at me and she goes, Crystal, you can choose any genre you want. I just want this set number of books a month, this, you know, your edits to be done on time and your covers to be done. And I looked at her and I said, deal. I said, but I'll hold you to it. And she goes, yeah, but you got to realize that you're going to have multiple pen names. And I was oh, no, because then I'm going to have to try and remember what pen name I've got to be at each of these events.
Right, yeah, because you have to, like, I hate the whole brand thing, but I know that's the thing that I think about and ask you about. Like, what's your brand? What's your author? And, like, if you're writing, like, if people really love your, you know, romance, monster romance or something, they're going to be all sad when they open up your, like, serious, like, you know, women's lit or whatever. Like, where's the monsters?
Exactly, that's the thing. Like, I learned 12 years ago, they threw me into romance. They said, oh, this will just wet your feet. And it was only ever supposed to wet my feet. Next thing I knew, 12 years later, I was still getting said, we want you to continue to write the, you know, the romance and stuff. And I remember just looking at them thinking, I can't keep doing this. Like, I got a stack of stories that I want to go elsewhere with. And I laughed, because luckily my editor, Kimon, over at Tyham Hill Press, she just said, if you want to do something else, you need to take a break from romance. Take a break, girl. Like, write whatever's in your heart. And I could not thank her enough for that. That was the most amazing thing. And she's probably one of the nicest publishing houses I've ever worked with, because she's also let me go off and do screenwriting and stick my toes in other places. Like, just because sometimes as a writer, you just need to take that step back and just be like, well, what else could I do?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what I got to do with her. And I'm super grateful for that, like, beyond words now, to be honest.
Great.
So is there anything that you're reading right now that you're really excited about, that you're, like, really energetic about?
I just finished a bunch of books, so I'm thinking about what I've read recently. Like I said, I'm a huge sci-fi fan, so I just read all of the Expanse novels in, like, 2 months. And I looked, and I'm usually, like, a really slow reader, actually, and I looked up and I was like, was it really, like, 2 million words? Like, how did that happen? But I was a big fan of the show, so I think I was, like, waiting to read the books because I didn't want it to end. I really enjoyed those. And that's been kind of like living in my head rent-free. I just read, The Free People's Village by Sim Kern.
Oh,
which I really liked. Yeah. It's very, like, punk rock, like, activist heavy kind of, you know, cool stuff there. I enjoyed that. And what else? I just started The Terraformers, which is by Anna Lee Newitz, I believe.
All right, really cool.
I like all their stuff.
Have you tried The Book Eaters yet? That's just come out.
I have read The Book Eaters. Sunny Dean.
Yeah. I had her on the show. It was incredible. I'm not a horror person at all, and she did not tell me I was horror. And no hints about it at all. She's just like, it's got vampires in it. So I was like, oh, I can do vampires. So it's cool.
Yeah.
5 minutes in. What the hell am I reading?
I loved it. I thought it was, like, dark and weird, you know? And
it,
like,
was definitely, like, dark and weird. Yeah. Yeah.
I love high concept books like that where you're like, how is that going to work? And then you're like, oh, that works. Like, I read, I forget the name of it. God, I should have been ready. The Chain Gang All Stars. I should have written down the author's name. I could come back to it. But, it had this really high concept kind of prisoners being forced to, like, be in this big entertainment industry where they, like, fought to the death and stuff. And it was very, like, satirical kind of. I mean, it was really, like, making commentary on, you know, the prison industrial complex in America and all this, you know, kind of heavy stuff. It was pretty heavy, you know, but that book, I think it came out last year, really impressed me. But
see, I had the same feeling because I'm a gamer at heart. Totally gamer at heart. And so when Warcross came out, I was like, I'm a League of Legends player. So 100%. And I was like, oh God, this is going to, no, don't touch League. Like, I knew she was a League player too. And I'm like, oh no, don't, no, no, this is going to be awful. I read it so quick. I was just like, I was so impressed by it because I'm not somebody that's usually into that kind of field, but I got so into it. And, like, I have gamer friends who don't read at all, who, like, picked up Marie Lu's book and they were just, like, sucked into that entire thing. They were like, oh my God, this is amazing. And yeah, like, it was, like, the first time I got other gamers to be, like, excited about books was just with that one. And now I'm working my way through the very last book of the Throne of Glass series, which is extremely high fae. And I kind of put it off because I wanted to make sure the series was done. You know, that way where you're like, you're like,
that's a monster series, isn't it?
Yeah, it's monsters, like 8 books, but like, each one's like 1,000 pages. And I'm like, ah, like, because you've got edits to do in, like, the meantime of that, and you can only read so much in a day.
Yeah, totally.
I was just like, I gotta do this. Like, I'm in fourth year university and it's my last year, but I'm like, I am finishing this book. Like, it's gotta get done.
Right, yeah. I liked, I'm a big gamer too. I liked Arcane. Was that was League of Legends, right?
Yeah, that was our League of Legends. Yeah, Arcane was amazing. But it
they
came
did
out
a really
of
good job of
phenomenal.
like writing
Yeah.
that, and it was beautiful too.
I'm sort of sad that they didn't do season two though. I must
Oh, did they cancel it? Or...
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see.
It would have been awesome, especially like because I played League, you know, coming on 8-9 years. And that game is addictive. If you don't want to get addicted to anything, just don't play League. It's definitely like a trap. You walk in for one game
yeah,
and you're there for 4 hours.
I tried it
yeah.
once and I was miserable at it. So I'm definitely more of like an RPG person.
Yep. There, people have been getting me that down that road too. Just,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like Baldur's Gate was really great. I know that just like hit the mainstream hard
yep.
in a way that most CRPGs don't, which that was really cool to see.
And now you got Pal World too, which is kind of coming out and is just
yeah.
blowing up.
Pokemon with
like,
guns, like gangster.
Yeah,
Pokemon.
It's like, what the hell is this?
I tried it. The games that are more like grindy, where I'm
yep.
like, oh, I gotta collect all this crap to like make a basket, and you know, that stuff kind of gets a little bit boring for me.
It
but
does
I love
a bit,
the
yeah.
I'm here
yeah.
for the memes for Pal World for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we'll have to get you introduced to DDG because that place is amazing. It's like the one place I can go on like Discord, and I go in there and it's just calm and quiet. It's just yeah, it's so good.
Mm.
And we just do like we do Warhammer in there. We've got like Dungeons and Dragons. It's just a phenomenal place to be if you're
oh,
a gamer.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't promote them too much, but I know the two that have brought it over, and it's such a relaxing Discord to be in now.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
yeah, it's always great to find like a good community that you connect with. I feel like I join a lot of Discords now for various
yeah.
things, and I'm just like, oh man, it's gonna take a while. I like, gotta lurk all these channels and get the vibe and start conversations. But I mean, there's a few that I think I look at more than others. I don't know.
Well, we'll have to send you out because like I run Valhalla, which is our Nordic fair like fey kind of place that we do sort of like Minecraft stuff, and we've got all these different
oh,
games
cool.
that people partaking in, and it's
yeah.
so good. It's like it's just such a calm, chilled place.
I love
and
Minecraft.
We actually share a lot of this stuff. Yeah, we share
mm-hmm.
a lot of stuff too. So yeah, you're more than welcome because like. I think that's the thing now. Authors with like who are gamers are all kind of clunking together, and it's making a much better community, and it's much like it's more welcoming and stuff too.
That's great.
Well, you survived the Book and Life podcast for today. How was that? Was that not like the least painful thing of all?
No, it was great. I had a great time.
So, guys, you're only going to come back next week because we have another amazing guest coming on, and you're not going to want to miss this. So. Be safe, remember to take breaks, and please do not clean your gun while you listen to the show. And I will see you all again next time.
Bye.